Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And today I am going to be interviewing somebody I cannot wait to find more about. Now, this person has been making waves recently. Why? Because he has just announced the Midwest Magic Convention, which is hopefully going to be Ireland's premium magic convention. Already, it's only just gone on sale with the early bird tickets, and they've already got some incredible names like Jay Sankey and Michael Finney, Quentin Reynolds. The list goes on and on and on. This interview is going to be talking complete, not just about the convention, but also about Leon and who he is, because he's an incredible performer as well. And I can't wait to find out more about him. Leon, Mr. Leon Anderson, how are you?
I'm all good, my friend. I'm so excited to be here, actually. Thanks so much for inviting me onto your show. And yeah. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Mate, you're more than welcome. I am incredibly excited. I'm excited to find out more about you, because we've known each other for a while, but I don't know you well enough to know your backstory and everything about you in terms of magic. So I'm excited about that. But I'm also, a little bit later on, I'm excited to talk about the Midwest Magic Convention, because this, I know you're so passionate about it, and I know that you've got big plans, and I can't wait to talk about it with you, because I think it's going to be epic.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be like a mini Blackpool. Just let's say that a mini Blackpool. That's what we're going to try and have.
Mini Blackpool, but with a lot more Guinness.
Yes, good Guinness as well.
Exactly, the good stuff.
Best Guinness.
And we're going to talk all about that. But first of all, for people who don't know you, who you are and what you do, let's give them a bit of frame of reference. Leon, first of all, tell me about your origin story. How did you get into magic? When did it all happen? What did that all look like?
Oh, listen, every time I hear this question, I just feel like it's exactly the same as every other magician. I was a kid, 7 years of age, Paul Daniels was on the TV, and I asked Santa Claus for a Paul Daniels magic set, and I woke up Christmas morning, and there it was. Paul Daniels magic set, and that's how it went on from there. Learned a couple of tricks. Well, I wasn't really a big reader back then, and not like now. You have YouTube and you have videos and DVDs. Back then we only had books, and I wasn't really a big reader, so I had to kind of just take the props out and kind of mess around with them myself, and completely doing the opposite of what's in the book, but making it look like I was a magician. So and continued on doing that until I was around 12 years of age, and I kind of went in other routes of entertainment. I was a professional dancer, I was in a boy band, and not many people
know that.
I toured all over Ireland, and I had my first baby then when I was 17, so that kind of stopped everything there. And by the time I was 20, I had three kids. So I had three kids by the time I was 20. And I wanted to kind of get back into the entertainment business, but I was, you know, I was a dad now, so I couldn't be in a boy band, and I was 20, and, you know. So I remember David Blaine. I saw his TV special in 99. And I was like, oh, I can do stuff like that. Oh, I that looks familiar. I think I can do that. So that was it. I went to my local magic shop. We actually had a magic shop in Limerick, where I'm from. And we're so honored, because it was probably one of the only kind of magic shops in Ireland at the time. And it was on my doorstep. So I remember just going to him saying, and he had everything that David Blaine had, you know, everything on the shelf. He had a biting coin, he had a raven, he had a, you know, the rising deck, he had an invisible deck, he had everything. I just spent 100 quid and I turned into David Blaine overnight, basically. And that was it. And I had a couple of friends still in the entertainment business. And they were now managing like nightclubs and stuff like that. And I went to them and I said, I was literally 2-3 weeks doing all the David Blaine stuff because I wanted to hit it when it was hot. And I went to my local nightclub, did a few tricks for the manager, and I got a weekly slot after two or three weeks doing magic. So and that's it. Basically, I just kept going and kept going and kept going.
Wow. So, okay, let's unpack this. So
that was a lot.
There's a lot to talk about there. So let's unpack it. So first of all, obviously touring in a boy band is incredible, right? Did you find that when that went away, do you still miss those days or do you, you know, is it really kind of magic has taken over?
Yeah. So magic was always my first love. Magic was always my first love. And I remember we were supporting, there was an Irish magician on the circuit back in the early 90s called Peter Blackthorne. And he had a lovely illusion show. And for a long time, we ended up doing kind of similar gigs. So the boy band would come out and then he'd have the magic show and then there'd be another act. And then I just remember watching Peter Blackthorne from the wings going, oh man, that's what I want to do. I wanted to be the illusionist. I wanted to saw the woman in half. I wanted to be that guy. Because when you're in a boy band, it's your everybody, you know? Whereas when you're a magician and you're on stage, the focus is on you. And that's really what I wanted, yeah.
Mm. Okay, that's cool. And when you decided to go back into magic, I mean, it sounds like you leapt into being a full-time magician pretty much a couple of weeks after getting back into it.
Because I feel, sorry, Craig, I feel because I had the entertainment, I was used to dancing in front of thousands of people. I had the performance. I had the, like, I was, you know, I was the showman. That's probably the hardest part you got to learn when you become a magician. The tricks, you know, are tricks. It's the performer. That's what makes the magic, you know. And I was already a performer, you know. I was already, you know, performing. But now I was just using the tricks that I was able to. And, you know, you're point the coin, like, you know, it doesn't take months and years to learn how to buy the coin, right? So, yeah. But it would take you a longer time to have the showman, the actions, the facial impression, you know, that's what makes the magic. So, yeah, so I got stuck straight in.
Well, on that point, what advice could you give magicians that are watching this that want to improve the presentational side of their magic? Because the thing is, a lot of close-up magicians especially that have never had any experience performing on stage, they haven't had any training or anything in how to actually present. So, you know, a lot of them want to do better and want to actually present better and come up with better, you know, showmanship, like you said it. What advice would you give a magician that wanted to improve?
Just join your local acting school or you know, drama school. I know it might sound cheesy, and I remember you know, Jeff McBride said it years ago. Jeff McBride started as a mime artist, and that's what got him, you know, you know, his stage presence up. And it's all about eye contact as well, so being able to take your head up from the cards and make the eye contact, just become the people's person. But it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to need help with that. And I would say you're probably the best card magician in the world. You probably are. You're probably a million times better at cards than I am. So put your cards away for a while and just, like, you don't even have to join it now because YouTube, like, you can look up acting like videos on YouTube and you can, you know, but, you know, I would definitely prefer you to go to your local drama school or, you know, dance school and just get that, you know, get it. And I promise If you do that for a couple of months, your magic will become so much stronger. Your relationship with the public will become just amazing, and you will be the guy that they want to go to, because magic is not like what you do, it's how you make them feel, I think. And if a person feels like they're, you know, they're being entertained, then they would much prefer that than being made fool of, or, you know, being fooled. Does that make sense?
It really does, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good advice. Really, really good advice. And, you know, you said that you found a residency within a couple of weeks. You know, you got yourself into
it. Yeah, I was lucky.
Which is great. What did you, so, you know, you've made this decision to go full-time in magic, and I know you've got the showmanship, and you managed to find a residency, which is great. What would, you obviously are one of the most successful magicians in Ireland. You know, you're regularly performing at weddings and corporates and so on and so forth. You don't want to work, Leon, you're doing great. So how did you go from, you know, getting a residency with a buyout coin to where you are right now? Did you have like a plan in place in terms of business, or was it just wing it and go? How did you get there to where you are right now?
So when I remember in the nightclub, there was a hen night, and I had three trick routines that I would go to. And back then we could smoke in the nightclub. So at the start, I would ask somebody for a cigarette, you know. I did the flash paper. Yes, I pretended, because everything was silent. I haven't done it in a long time because it was so not loud and stuff like that. And I'd be just like, watch, watch, watch. And I'm rolling up the cigarette paper and I'm lighting it and I produce a cigarette and I give it to the person that I think is, they're smoking. Light it up for them and they're smoking. So now I go and I do like a card trick, card routine, and I'd finish up. So it'd be three routines for each kind of group. And then I would, for my finisher, I'd pull out my silk hanky and I'd vanish the cigarette, and that would be it, I'd be gone. But I did that for a hen party. And at the time, like, I didn't realize that magic at weddings. Now, this, we're talking about 2001, okay? 2001, which is 22 years ago, right? I did this for a hen night. I have it on video somewhere. I must rule it out. I have this on video somewhere because I had my ex-wife at the time, my ex-partner, and I rented a video recorder and we did it going around. So I have this on tape somewhere. And they were just screamed, and they were like screaming, they were high-fiving. I was like, oh my God. And she goes, oh, you must come to my wedding. I was like, boom, now I'm a wedding magician, right? So now I was after getting booked. So now I'm going to do, so, and then I tried different things during the meal. I'm not a big fan of, but the reception and after the meal. I prefer not to do it during the meal, because it's a long day for guests. And if, you know, they're like, they're drinking in the reception, which is great. And you can go around, do some magic there. But as soon as that bell goes for the meal, they're starving. They want to eat. The last thing I feel that they want to see is a magician going around asking them to pick a card whilst they're trying to eat their steak and, you know, stuff like that. So that, yeah, that's just me personally, but that's how the business started. So then I became, or in Ireland, communions and confirmations, it's huge. They're like weddings. So I was able to put together a stand-up show for kids and families. It's more of a family show rather than a kids show. And that's it, man. I just, that's how it flowed. I was kind of bits of everything.
Wow. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Yeah. So is there, I suppose the next question is, I know you as a close-up magician, but do you do stage magic as well? Because obviously your background of performing on stages in a boy band and singing and blah, 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 would mean that you're very comfortable on stage. Is that something that you push towards as well?
So in 2006, so every 3 years we had, in Limerick, we had a convention. It was the Munster Society of Magicians. I was a member of. That's no longer together anymore. They haven't been together for, I think, the last convention. last competition in Ireland was 2011 or 12 or something like that. I'll have to confirm that. So there hasn't been a competition in Ireland. But my first competition I entered as a close-up. And that was in 2002 as a close-up competitor. And I messed up the 21 card trick, right? Because I have stories. I created stories around my 21 card trick, right? And stuff like that. So it wasn't about the trick and I didn't, well, anyway, it messed up. But in 2000, so that must have been 2003. In 2006, I actually did enter the stage competition and I came first.
Really?
Yeah, so I entered the stage competition, came first. I had a 7-minute act. It was actually Jeff McBride's commando act, with a couple of little different things that I added, and it went down a storm. So I got actually 2 awards that year. I got Irish Magician of the Year, and I got a Showmanship Award. So 2 awards for that act. And that came around again then in 2009, and that's when I won the IBM Ring 25, or the Irish Ring, Magician of the Year, the Irish Magician of the Year, and the Showmanship Award. So I won 3 awards for that in 2009. So, and that was just a 7-minute act that I put together for the stage, specifically for the stage routine, because I was watching them beforehand and it's the same thing. You have this bag and you're pulling all these flowers out of the bags, and it just felt like the umbrellas were a big thing at the time as well, where they were just making a stage full of umbrellas. And I was like, surely to God, it's better than this. It has to be better than this. Magic in Ireland has to be better than this. Like, you know, I felt like the acts were just bought. You know, you buy the trick, you go up on stage and you perform them. So when I got my hands, it was actually a good friend of mine, David Walsh, he said, Leon, he goes, I got this video of Jeff McBride. It's called a commando routine. I definitely think it would suit you to the ground. I watched it. I fell in love. I learned it from back to front. I spent 2 years perfecting it. And then I did it in 2006. And I got a standing ovation from magicians when I first did it. So
that's amazing.
I have a video of that as well somewhere.
Wow, that's incredible. So that brings me to my next question, which is, do you have any advice on entering competitions? Because a lot of magicians, you know, they're kind of gearing up to enter competitions. It's something they want to do, but they've never entered a competition before. Performing to magicians is a totally different experience to performing to lay people. Yeah. Somebody who's won so many competitions, do you have any advice?
Yeah, again, it depends if you're entering the close-up competition or you're entering the stage competition. My advice would be the same as what I would give a while ago. Get some practice from like Toastmasters or actors, you know, and get your stage presence. Whether you're doing close-up or whether you're doing stage, you're going to need stage presence. It doesn't matter if you're performing in a bar or performing in a competition. Once you get your stage presence up and you get more relaxed on front of the crowd, because there's nothing worse. Remember when I was a kid and the teacher in the class, oh, Leon, it's your turn to read the book. And you get up and your body starts shaking and and all you have to do is read a couple of lines of a book and your body will just break down. It's just about getting rid of that anxiety about getting up and performing in front of, because I promise you, the tricks, you already know the tricks. You're doing the tricks. I know you know the tricks. The tricks that you're performing for the competition. And don't learn new tricks for competitions. It's going to take you about 20 years to master that, you know, that trick so it's fluent. So don't change your tricks. Do what you're already doing. But just become a little bit more aware and make eye contact from people. My little man is just after waking up. He's after getting a haircut this morning. Say hi, everybody. He fell asleep on the car coming home. So he's lovely here. So, Want to go in and spell? Good boy. I think after Jackie. No, sorry, Craig.
That's okay.
Sorry, guys.
Hey, it's nice to meet him. Future magician right there.
Yeah. So that's my advice. Go and get those classes in because it's going to make your magic stronger.
That's great. Yeah. Why did you enter competitions? What was your reason for entering a competition? Was it because you wanted... Yeah, I mean, you tell me. I mean, there's lots of different reasons to enter a competition. You entered so many and did so well. What was your reasoning for doing that?
I wanted to have a trophy. I wanted to have something that was for me. That was it. I wanted to have something that I say, I did this by myself. I actually did this. I wasn't part of a group or part of a band. It wasn't anything like that. It was like, yeah, this is... mine.
Amazing.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
And when you're entering a competition, do you have any advice on trick selection? Because obviously you talked about Jeff McBride's Commando Act, which is a great act. Obviously that suited you. It might not suit somebody else. How do you find the best act that you go to do in a competition?
It's like magic is more accessible now than we had, I suppose, Greg, because we didn't have YouTube, we didn't have Penguin Magic. I remember having the Davenport's catalog, a big huge red catalog that we got. I got actually from a local my magic shop. He said, oh, you should have a look at this, and basically, I studied that catalog from start to finish. I don't know if you ever remember.
I do.
Maybe
yeah.
I'm showing my age a small bit, but this thing was like a Bible.
Oh, it was massive, wasn't it? Red, it was huge.
Red, and it was like just packed full of stuff. And right at the back was this new video selection. As I said at the start, I wasn't a big reader, but I learned a lot from watching other magicians. So I bought a lot of videotapes. £30 I remember paying for a videotape and having to wait, you know, weeks for it to come. But when I got it, I studied it. I played it back, played it back, played it back. And I just watched it. And okay, it's very easy then to just... Sorry.
That's okay.
Well, he does. Yeah, he's made his first snowman yesterday. Sorry.
Well, that's magic in of itself.
The snowman is still. He's not melting. No, he's not. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, man.
Don't worry about it, Leon. It's okay.
Yeah. So the tricks. It can be very easy to fall into learning other people's pattern and learn. This is so important. Okay, you have to. That's what you have to do because that you're learning it. This is why it takes time. It takes time then to tease that out, and slowly but surely, if you start learning about acting and learn about, you'll start building up your own personality. The trick will be the same, but it's your personality is what's going to make that trick different. So when a magician puts out a trick to market, yeah, use the pattern, use everything you can because you're learning that trick, but don't depend on that magician's pattern if you're entering a competition, because it's going to see, okay, you're kind of like a robot, whereas tease it out, and then the trick, still perform the trick, but you might be able to use your own personality then. And you might say something that the other magician didn't say, or just take that out, or, you know, and add in something. And that's it. It's all about your own personality. The tricks are tricks. There's nothing we can do about it. If I buy a trick, I don't know, the three-card Monty trick, it can only be done that way. So, you know, don't worry about that you're doing the trick exactly the same way. But learn about doing it your way, with your style and your personality. It's what it's all about.
Amazing. I'm going to ask you one last question before we get onto the convention, which is, you know, we talked about how you went from literally not really doing much magic to becoming a full-time pro. Do you have any advice for anybody who's going full-time? in terms of, you know, they want to quit their job. They want to become a full-time magician. More and more people want to do that than ever before. Is there any sort of advice, somebody who's been a successful professional magician for a long time, is there any advice that you can give people on that?
Is there any advice? Man, I'd love to say just do it. You know, yeah. But it's so hard. Like, I had to keep my job as well as everything else, because during COVID, I was so lucky that I was after picking up a full-time job before that, because I would have had nothing.
Yeah.
But now it's beginning to slowly come back around, and it's getting better. It's probably getting better than it was, because I stayed active during COVID with, I set up another business called Quizmasters. So I was doing quizzes online rather than the magic. And I was doing like music bingo for hen nights online in my sitting room, you know, during COVID. So I just kept, you know, doing whatever I could to make it happen. But you got to think about it. Get your website in order, make sure it's ranking high, make sure those emails are coming in. And don't, if you're thinking about giving up a job, I wouldn't. Maybe try and go part-time. And then, because, okay, like if you've got 2 gigs a week, I don't know, in Ireland, that's pretty much enough. 2 weddings a week would be enough for a week's wages normally. I know, buddy. I'll get you something in a minute. But I wouldn't give up my full-time job. I would maybe go part-time and try and juggle it then. Now, unless you're getting into corporate where you're getting maybe a couple of grand a gig, you know, and you're gigging, you know, 20 times a year, which doesn't really happen in the real world. You know, we're doing 50 gigs and getting smaller, you know, we're doing 100 gigs and we're getting 400 or 500. So, you know, you just have to weigh it up. Everybody is different. Everybody is different. And my advice is you just be very careful. I'm happy if anybody wants to email me, I'm happy to give advice because everybody is different. If you want to email me and say, Leon, listen, I've just watched your interview with Craig, and I really think that, you know, you might be able to, I'll give you advice, and I will call it as it is. I'll ask a bit more information about you, and I will tell you you're bonkers if you're thinking of giving up that job to do this full time, because it's so hard. Not in the UK, it must be harder because there's lots more magicians and lots fantastic magicians. In Ireland, because we're so small, we only have a population of 5 million. There's more in Manchester than there is in the whole of Ireland.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to break it down. There's a lot more weddings. So we just have to, you know, we're staying in our own patches and we're doing our own things. And I'm passing jobs to Cork, and I'm passing them to Galway, and I'm passing them to Dublin and Waterford if I can't go. But obviously I'm going to go if I can make it. But we're all passing jobs to each other over here, which is great. And there's not that many professionals, magicians in Ireland either. So we're able to, you know, keep ourselves busy, really. That's great. It must be so hard in the UK. I can imagine.
Yeah, it can be. There's a lot of magicians, but there's a lot more people. So, you know, there's a lot more opportunities for gigs, and especially if you factor in all the different types of magic, and, you know, holiday parks are a big thing as well. So, you know, there's
we don't have a lot of.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on over here. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. But yeah, it can be a struggle when people first go full time. But that brings me to the Midwest Magic Convention.
Yeah.
And my question for you is, first of all, before we talk about it, what made you set up a magic convention? Because it's a blooming hard thing to do. And it's financially, it can be a bit of a risk if you're not careful. So, yeah. You know, what was your thought process there?
I don't think I had one really. I just love going to Blackpool every year. I love getting on the getting on the plane and flying over to Manchester and making my trip. The first Blackpool Magic Convention I went to was their 50th anniversary, and this year was their 70th. So I'm going 20 years, bar the 1 year that we didn't, that didn't happen. And all that time, I said, I'd love to do something like this in Ireland. I would love to have this in Ireland. You know, I'd love to have these acts. So I remember introducing myself to a lot of magicians. I remember Aldo Colombini running through the crowd with a suitcase and a bag on his back, and he was dropping lecture notes, and he was saying, and I ran off my seat and I said, Aldo, I'll give you a hand. Where are you going? He goes, I'm going up to the lecture. So I grabbed one of his bags and ran up, and I remember what he said to me. He goes, where are you from? I said, I'm from Ireland. And he goes, 3,000 magicians here, and takes an Irishman to give me a hand. And I was like, you know, and we became friends after that then. And I didn't really do it for anything, but he just gave me one of everything that he was saying. He was there for you, you know. And how I met Jay Sankey was, I remember in Blackpool. Yeah, 1 second. Yeah, but no, I'm going to sit down. Sorry, Craig.
Don't worry about it. This is the best interview ever. I'm loving this.
This is a true story. This is, and you know, when I'm in Blackpool and I have friends around and we're sitting in the bar and I tell all these stories, I swear to God, I was making them up. I always have this. This is a true story. This is a true story. And Jay will vouch for this as well. So first time meeting Jay Sankey, obviously had his videos, had his coin stuff from years and years ago. It was packed. I mean, Spanish Hall was just bonkers, just all looking at this small little guy on stage with his big, huge personality. Everybody wanted a part of him. So outside, he's there and he's signing his autographs. And there was a crowd around him about 10 deep. And I shouted just from the top of my voice, just shouted, Jay! And he says, yeah. I said, would you like a drink? And he goes, yes. So I went over and I bought a bottle of cider. So loads of ice, a bottle of cider, and I gave him half of the bottle. And I made my way in and I said, sorry guys, just give this to Jay. So I put my hand out from the crowd with this big, big pint glass of ice and Bulmer cider. And I said, Jay, that's for you. And I have the bottle. I'll just be sitting over here. When you're finished, we'll have a little chat. And I swear to God, when it all died down, he came over to me with the glass. He popped up and we stayed there for about 2 hours whilst everybody was gone to the next lecture. Wow. And we became friends like that. And I think that type of atmosphere I loved. And, you know, I just wanted to be part of a convention. And I wasn't a member of any society. You know, the Munster Society were gone. And I was just, for years, I was thinking, every year I'm coming, I'm like, I'm meeting new guys, Michael Amar. Michael Amar's wife, Hannah, her mom was a famous magician, and she actually was in Limerick doing a magic convention in the 80s, and I got the brochure. I had the brochure, so I brought that with me 1 year. And when Michael Amar was there, I said, oh, Mike, I have a gift for you. This is your mom-in-law. And she was a big poster of Hannah Amar's mom on the back. And I said, this is a gift for you. And me and Michael Amar became friends. We emailed. He gave me a quote for a trick that I released a couple of years ago called Facelift with Penguin, exclusive. It took me 10 years to release that because I wanted to get all the dots and get all the stuff out of the way. Is a very Luber Fielder's a trick by Luber Fielder. I know I'm going off on one, but I remember.
No, please do. Facelift.
Email facelift on Penguin Magic. Yeah. It's still available. It's only a tenner. But this is one of those tricks where the gimmick is better than the trick. It was just brilliant. I remember emailing Luber Fielder saying, listen, Luber, before he passed away, I said, look, I love that trick called fantasy something. fantasy. It'll come to me in a second. I said, look, I made a variation. I hope you don't mind. And I hope, and he said, no, that's nothing like mine. You can only change two cards with yours, your gimmick. With my gimmick, you can change four. So that was like, okay, I'm off the hook here, so I can release it. So and it took me that long to get the go ahead, kind of to release this trick. And yeah, it went to, was number one on Penguin there for a while. Tricks under $10, so hopefully we might sell a few more of them now.
I'm going to go check that out. I've never seen it.
That's amazing. I don't think you ever did a review of it as well. I'd love for you to review it if you.
Heck yeah, 100%. Yeah. Never even heard of it.
And that brings me to the convention now in November. So two guys. So in 2009, when the second competition in Limerick, Michael Finney was there. And he was a judge in the competition. So we became friends because of that. I actually met him on the street. I said, oh my God, you're Michael Finney. The sun was splitting the rocks. It was in the middle of May or the start of May. And I brought him to the castle. I brought him and we became friends. I have a lovely message from him when I asked him to come over for the convention. I'll show it to you when we're off air, but it's really, really, really nice message from him. So that's what I did for 20 years. Just built up relationships with magicians and not really about trick wise or wanting anything from them. It was all about me. I was giving them something. When I met Michael Amar, I gave him the, you know, brochure with his mother-in-law in the back and that he probably never seen. When I met Jay, I gave him a drink. When I met Aldo Colombini, I helped him, you know, carry stuff. It was all about giving, not really wanting anything in return, but knowing someday I'm going to run with this convention and I'm going to call in all these favors from all these guys. And yeah, that's what's happening.
Amazing. So tell me about it. So it's a full-on convention. It's running a couple of days, right? So it's not just a one-day convention. It's running a couple of days. Talk to me about what's happening, what's going on, who you've got on. Tell me everything.
Yeah. So the acts that are already confirmed are Jay Sankey, Michael Finney. They're both doing a lecture and they're both doing master classes as well. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And Jay Sankey has limited it to 20. Michael Finney has limited it to just 12. He wants this to make it really exclusive. So if you ever want to learn a rope routine or learn how to mix comedy with magic, because Michael Finney has a whole other DVD with no tricks at all. It's just all comedy. So how you can bring comedy into your act. And if you want to learn a really cool rope trick, he is the best rope trick on the market.
I agree.
And then we have yourself, who's agreed to put together a wicked new lecture. And I'm hoping that you'll talk about your corporate experiences, your ups and your downs, and I'm hoping you give us a little bit of insight. And okay, it's an hour again. It's not. This is going to be such a relaxed weekend of, we're not tied to an hour. We're not tied to, you know, where somebody else is coming on and after you, or, you know, that rush that you get from other conventions. It's just going to be so relaxed. Have a drink, sit down, have a chat, questions and answers, and bring it back to where it used to be, the old school stuff, you know, because a lot of these lectures as well can, as you probably agree, I hope you do agree, it's not just me, that some of them can be just dealer dems. This is what I'm selling. This is a trick, I'm selling it outside. Here's another trick, I'm selling it outside, where they don't really tell you anything personal. They don't let you in on those little nuggets, those little gems where that you pick up that one little bit of information, where that one time when somebody locked the door in front of you, but you were able to find another way in, you know, that type of stuff. That's the stuff that I want to bring it back to, because that type of stuff you can't get anymore. You can get the tricks, but you can't get those little bit of life lessons, though, for a professional magician. That little nugget where you can, you know, we don't need any more tricks, I think. We just need that little bit of advice that we can take our own magic and bring it to the next level. And that's what I want from this weekend. So you're going to be there, Quentin Reynolds, which is, he's a premium children's entertainer, and, you know, a stand-up, you know, a talker. And again, life lessons. He's been around. He's done some, and those are the type of stuff, like, I'm hoping that I'm going to be there and I'm going to be at all these lectures. And I'm going to be asking, tell us about this, tell us about this, because they're the ones that I want to get at. And Jamie Williams is there. So I met him at Blackpool. He's ticker sticker, just blew me away. Trick. And yeah, so he's coming on over. And then we have Roiland as well, who is basically my little ambassador for the kids of Ireland. So I'm so happy that both of you are coming along.
Oh, and he's super excited.
And listen, it's run over at the moment. It's Friday, Saturday and Sundays, with not much happening on Friday at the moment. So everything is on Saturday and Sunday. But I'm going to slowly add at the Sunday evening. It's just for dealers that want to come over. If they want to set up on the Friday, they can, and we'll just have a relaxing night. I have entertainment. I have an Irish band already booked for the Friday night. They're going to come and they're absolutely amazing. But we might squeeze in a little late night lecture from, I have somebody in mind. I won't announce it yet, but I'm hoping he can come along. And he's a fellow Limerick man, but lives in the UK. I'm not going to say any much more than that.
Wow, okay, that's interesting.
Might be interesting. I'm hoping that he will come on board. And so I just want everybody to come visit Ireland, fly into Shannon. The hotel is 20 minutes away. If you book your flights now, you can probably get them for £40 return. Like, you know, it's bonkers, you know. And the pints, you're going to get the best pint of Guinness ever, right? And just pity your wife or your husband when you get home after drinking all the Guinness, because it's,
That's amazing. And a couple of other things I want to ask about it as well. So you've got the gala show. So you've mentioned a few times a gala show. I mean,
yes.
Wow. You know, that's...
So I'm just trying to get everybody that comes to do a little slot there. Basically, just... Again, I want everybody to be happy, everybody to be... the gala show will be open to the public. So that's my big thing. So I'm actually going to open it to the public. The venue can seat around 600. So if I'm aiming to get to 2, there'll be 400 basically open to the lay audience. So I just think that would be add a little bit more of an atmosphere to the place. Plus the competition on the Saturday night, the family entertainer of the year will be magicians, but also public as well. All right. The public, this is what I'm working on. So during my quizzes, there was an app that I could download, right? That when I was doing my quizzes online, they download an app and answers would be, if it doesn't matter where they are in the world, they answer, the quickest come first and all this kind of thing. So I'm going to try and incorporate that software that's already there. But instead of questions, I'm going to put magicians. I'm going to give the public a chance, not just magicians voting on who's going to be the best family entertainer. It's going to be voted on by the public. So the public are going to say, who did you think was the best kids family entertainer? And we're going to go on that, and they're going to just choose their answer and hopefully come up on the screen, and we'll have one winner.
That's amazing. That's great. And you've got a close-up competition. Go on, sorry. Yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah. So a close-up competition. Again, close-up competition is a bit more technical. So I'm gonna leave this up to the magicians to judge this. I'm gonna try and get yourself, I haven't asked you yet, to judge. I'm gonna get Jay to judge. And I might judge myself on this one, because I won't be looking at the tricks. I'm gonna be looking at how your performance is. because I feel the competition has to work, you have to have everything to be, call yourself the top or the number one. You have to be, you have to make that eye contact. You have to be that personal magician that makes the audience feel not that they're being tricked, but that they're being entertained. And that's so important. So I won't be looking at the tricks. I'm not that technical myself. I have the worst top palm, one-handed top palm in the world. Every time I try it, I get caught, right? So I'm not that technical. I'm going to leave that up to you guys, but I'm going to be watching for other stuff. I'm looking for other angles, small little things like how you dress. I know that might be, but you know, you dress to your audience. I always find you got to dress to your audience. So if you're doing a wedding, going in a hoodie, you know, isn't the best, right? But if you're doing a street show and you're getting booked, yeah, maybe you can get away with the hoodie and the leather jacket and you can work from there. So that's fine. So you just have to, you know, you dress accordingly. And if you're entering a competition, I'd like you, you know, to, I'll leave it up to you. I'm not going to tell you how to dress, but there'll be marks on your presentation, the presentation of the trick, as well as yourself.
That's great. So, yeah. And then I know I have a lot of people watching this channel that are younger. Yeah, you've got the junior yes. competition as well, right?
Yeah. So again, I just want to announce this as well. Like, if you're under 14, it's free. You just your parent just has to pay. You just gotta tell your parent, "Mom, I want to go. This magic con, it's actually free." I don't know of any other convention that offers free for under 14s. Like, I just want kids to, you know, get out of their bedroom and off the YouTube just for, and be part of something. Like, the guys that you're probably watching on YouTube are gonna be here, you know? They're, you know, so just come down, say hi.
Yeah.
It's such magic, is such a fantastic community of people. Like, the amount of people that I've met through magic. I've met David Blaine, I've met Darren Brown, I call Keith Barry a friend, you know. If you were into football, the chances of you ever meeting Ronaldo and David Beckham, probably never. But magic is one of the, like, communities where you could actually be sitting down. I remember meeting David Blaine. I was set at the front. Azzy Wand was lecturing in Blackpool. And my friend just left the front. He said, "I'm going to the toilet." And I heard a load of hustle and bustle behind me. And it was David Blaine. He sat right beside me, right, at Blackpool Magic Convention. He sat right beside me. I was gobsmacked. And Steve Gore, I remember to this day, got off his seat and said, "I'll take a photograph of you." And he took a photograph, and I still have that photograph. That wouldn't have happened because I wouldn't have had it in me to ask for a photograph. But because Steve was there, he was probably sitting behind me or sitting beside me, Steve took that photograph and sent it on to me. And now I have a photograph with David Blaine. Like, wow. Amazing. The guy that I TV special I saw when I was just starting kind of in my professional career. So yeah, it's bonkers. And that's what I want that feel, I want that community back in Ireland that we haven't had in a few years. So
that's amazing. I can see how passionate you are about it. And for any kids that are watching this, they can do anything, right? It can be close-up, it can be stage,
they can do anything. Yeah, so they can do anything, whatever the trick that they want to perform, whatever it is, whether it's a dancing cane, a Rubik's cube, 21 card trick. That was my first trick when I started. If they want to do that, again, we're not particularly looking at the tricks anymore, we're looking at the overall. It's got to be everything. For me, it's got to be everything. If you get up and you're doing a fantastic trick, but you're a robot, I'm going to give it to the kid that's coming up with that personality, who's trying to make, you know, trying to make it, you know, happen for everybody in the audience, you know. So that's what we're looking at. We're not looking at just the tricks. We're looking at everything. And some kids are funny. Some kids are funny.
Well, so I mean, when you talk Ireland, you know, one of my favorite magicians that's hilarious is Aidan McCann.
Yeah.
Little Aidan is hilarious.
And I know of him. I haven't had the chance to meet him yet, but I'm hoping he's watching this and he can come on down and let's just have a party.
He's good friends with Ryland. He's a little legend, that kid.
Yeah. And there's another kid as well, Killian in Ireland.
Killian is amazing. Killian's got a very bright future ahead of him. He's another good friend of Ryland's. And
sure, there's not that many kids, you know, so they're all in a nice little bubble there. I see them in Blackpool all the time, and it's brilliant for the last couple of years. I suppose since Ross Stevens' grandchild, what's her name?
Izzy Simpson, yeah.
Izzy just exploded that for, and what she's done for kids' magic, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, she laid the path for everyone else to follow, you know?
Yeah, I think so. And I got an email from a kid called Steve down in Cork. It's about an hour and a half, two hours drive from the convention. And he's hoping to enter the competition as well. So hopefully we'll have lots of kids around. That's what we want. Just the future of magic. We just need them to just get out there and just perform, like, you know, like this.
Absolutely. Future magic star in a couple of years, looking at it.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, Leon, where can people go to get tickets? How long is the early bird ticket still going for? And what are the dates and costs and everything?
So the early bird tickets at the moment are €99. They will go up to €139 in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to give people a chance to just avail of the early bird tickets. I just want to, Craig, listen, I'm just going to put this out there as well. I'm not in this to make any money. I just want to cover what it's going to cost me. So, you know, at the moment, I need about 200 people to, for my wife not to kick me out of the house. At 99, if we're not getting that, then I have to increase the price a small bit, just which defeats the purpose, I know, but it's just bonkers. I just want to make it happen, and you know, I just want to cover what it's costing me to bring
the price that you're asking is incredible, considering like just Michael Finney and Jay Sankey alone are two huge names. Just the fact that they're associated with the convention and the masterclasses and everything. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. So listen, if anybody's out there and they're thinking about coming to the convention, just click on the link. I'm sure you'll have a link below somewhere. Just click on and get your tickets in. And I just added this morning, would you believe? I just added a donate button. Right, I know I hate doing this, but if you feel like you can't make it, or you just want to just donate something small, 5, 10, doesn't matter, you can, you know, buy me a pint, a fiver, just click it down. Just everything is just going into making this weekend a success, and I promise you, like, if it is a success, I'm already talking with unbelievable guys for next year. Like, you know, I mean, like, I mentioned his name already, I'm not going to say any more, but I have, like, he's one of my favorite magicians of all time, and I'm in talks with him for next year, you know. Wow. 2024. So I really just want this to work. I'm passionate about magic. I've loved magic since I was seven, since I was a kid. And I just want to be involved in magic in Ireland as much as I can. And I hope this just helps young kids, young magicians, 13, 14, 15 young guys that are wondering what they're going to do with their life. And they don't want to do this or don't want to do that, but they might be good at like standing up in front of a crowd and doing a couple of tricks. It's actually quite good money to be making it if you're good as well. So I just want to be that guy. I want to be that guy who's saying, I saw Paul Daniels when I was a kid. I want a kid to say, oh, I saw Leon Anderson on YouTube doing a convention, and that's what got me interested in magic. That's all I want from this convention. It's just
that's great.
Just to cover the cost.
That's right. You know what? I know it's going to happen. You've got an incredible, it's the old expression, isn't it? Build it and they will come. And you've got an incredible lineup. You're so passionate about it. And Ireland's a beautiful place. I know the hotel is fantastic. I think it'll be a fun, and it's a good time of the year. It's November. It's just before December. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Well, Leon, this has been an incredible interview. Thank you so much for jumping on Magic TV. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to come over and see you in November and be a part of the convention. I'm honored that myself and Ryland have been asked to be a part of it. And seriously, I want everybody who's watching this to go and book tickets. Go and book tickets. Go check out the website.
Come over for the crack. Actually, you don't know this, but I'm giving you two complimentary tickets that you can raffle off on your site as much as you want, in whatever way you want. Don't just give them away. Get them to do something, you know, to earn the two tickets. So it'd be two adult tickets, or two adults and two kids, because the kids are free if they want to do that. Or one adult and one junior, or one 14 to 13 or so. It doesn't matter, whatever they want. So two adults, if they have two kids under 14, they can come along.
Amazing.
So that's for you.
Look out for those. We're going to make people do something really awesome in order to get those tickets, because that's a great prize. Thank you so much, Leon. I didn't even know about that.
No bother. They're for you.
Thanks, man.
And thanks for all you're doing as well in the magic community. I want to take this opportunity to say thank you. Like, I don't know if you know that, but there's a lot of magicians from Ireland that do watch you. Like, and when last week when you mentioned the magic convention in one of your posts, it was another Irish magician that actually emailed me and said, Leon, Craig is after giving magic convention a shout out. You know, you should work with him and try and do something. So. And that's what's led to those two tickets. So I want to, Jack Wise was the guy there. I want to thank him for giving me that, putting that into my head. And you can thank Jack Wise as well.
Thank you, Jack. Tickets. And I will be raving about this over the next 6 months. People are going to be sick to death of me talking about this convention, because I am very excited. I'm doing a lot of conventions this year, and this is one that I'm most excited about. So. And I've got something very special planned, and so has Ryland. Ryland has got something very special planned as well, because I know you want him in the gala show. He's got something very, very, very special. He's going to be doing something that's never been seen before. So we're coming, Leon, and we're bringing our A game.
And we're just going to clear up another thing with Ryland and the competition. Ryland is going to be the ambassador for the competition. All right, so he's not actually going to be competing in the competition. Maybe I need to just look at the wording on the site properly, but he's going to perform at the competition to hopefully give a bit of a boost to the kids that are going to be entering the competition. Ryland is going to be actually one of the judges, and he's actually the ambassador for the kids competition in Ireland, you know. So Ireland, England, you know, we're small, we're the nearest, you know, neighbors. We have to look after each other, especially in
I agree. I love Ireland. For many years, for 20 years, my sister lived in Ireland, so I've been over there many, many times. So I love Ireland. So yeah, 100%.
I can't wait to have you back.
Any excuse to go over there and have a crack is worth it with me. I'll be there 100%. So I want everyone else to come. Links down below, book the tickets, come along. It's going to be an amazing convention. But Leon, thank you for sharing your experience. Thank you for answering all of my questions. I really appreciate it. And I will see you again. If not before, I'll see you in November.
Cheers, brother.
No problem.
Thanks. Guys, thank you.
Leave a comment down below. Let Leon know what you thought of the interview. And if you get a chance, please come along to the convention in November. It's going to be amazing. Link down below in the description. I'll be back again soon with another video. But thank you for joining me. On behalf of Leon Anderson, we'll see you again soon. My name's Craig from Magic TV, and that is Leon.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast. Magic. Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel, Magic TV, which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.